This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Did you hear what Rosenberg said?
I don't want to be Jake Tapper.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds. That's right. Oh, no.
Oh, no. What happened?
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey there. Hey, good evening, everyone, and welcome to ENN on this Monday, April 19th. I'd like to start off, if I can, by saying good evening to Michael.
Knicks are not a cookie.
I'd also like to say good evening to Don.
And if I could jump in this threesome here. So nothing today from me. That's good.
Nothing from Don? Seems hard to believe.
Really?
Excuse me? Are you taking that negatively?
I don't know. I guess I could take it positively, right? That I contribute.
You're damn right you do. Also, it is my co-host on One App, Sypha Sounds' birthday. Happy birthday, Sypha Sounds. We posted an episode today because it's also the anniversary of the great Nas album, Illmatic. And we talked about, I thought I was completely, Don, is there any music you love that's so great, but it's been celebrated so much that sometimes you're like, all right, well, enough already.
Yeah, I feel that way with the Beatles.
And I've said that before, that the Beatles are great, but also overrated. It's sort of like the Nas Illmatic album. Yes, it may be the greatest rap album of all time, but it's honored so often. But guess what? We found a way to honor it yet again in a new way. We came up with a bracket to figure out the best song on the album.
Ooh.
Which actually was a lot of fun. Q-Tip called in. Mark Ronson called in. Go subscribe to One Ep Is Dead, wherever you find podcasts. Guys, a lot happened this weekend. And then on Monday, we were met with news that shocked all of us, stopped us dead in our tracks. Alex Smith has retired from football. 2020 Comeback Player of the Year has called it a career. Here's Alex Smith on Outside the Lines talking about the pride he has in his comeback.
I got to chase the big daddy, that I got to go, my Everest, that I could see if I could go play football again. And I got to do that. And I'm so thankful for it. I still feel like I have other mountains out there. And it does come back to me being a father and a husband.
Well, yeah, I guess that mountain will be, you know, hanging out with the fam and figuring out what's next. Alex Smith had a really nice NFL career. Ultimately, he ends up getting remembered in some ways for being replaced by Colin Kaepernick and then, of course, being replaced famously by Patrick Mahomes. But he ties a bow on it with the unbelievable and improbable comeback in Washington. Do you know what it says on his Pro Football References website where it has his stats?
It says the Beatles are overrated.
On 2019, it says missed season, injured, infection.
Well, he had to turn. I mean, they wanted to amputate his leg, and he chose not to and continue to rehab. Also, what he said about, you know, he's got other things to do now. We talked about it on the broadcast yesterday because Jay Bruce ended up retiring. I asked Paul O'Neill, is there anything that comes close once you leave the sport? He goes, you know, you have other interests and your family becomes really, really important. He goes, but there's nothing that gives you that same feeling as playing. So, you know, they say an athlete dies two deaths, and that's one of them. There's just no way to avoid it. There's nothing that can approximate the thrill of competing at the highest level. So I'm glad that Smith made it back. And, you know, there were rumors, Peter, that he was considering going to Jacksonville.
Yeah, but apparently, you know, being the mentor to Trevor Lawrence does not appeal to him.
Right.
Yeah. And it's interesting because obviously he didn't live up to expectations. He was the first overall pick in the draft.
Right.
But 15 years in his career, remember, missed two full seasons because of injury, but he played in a championship game, led the league in touchdowns in Kansas City just 3 years ago. I mean, he had a really good, solid career. So, yeah, it probably wasn't first overall pick material, but very good quarterback with some really nice seasons.
And, his best year was 2017, 4,000 yards, 26 touchdowns, over 5 interceptions.
And Patrick Mahomes gave him total credit today for the quarterback that he is. You know, the year they overlap. So that's a nice thing to have on your resume, too. You help create one of the greatest quarterbacks ever.
finished the career with 35,000 yards, 199 touchdowns, 109 interceptions. Happy trails, Alex Smith. I enjoyed having him as quarterback in Washington. I mentioned it earlier, guys. Andrew and I were texting. What a fun game between Golden State and Boston on Saturday night. Here's the play-by-play of a ridiculous Steph shot by our friend, Mike Breen.
Curry spins. Step back, trying to draw another foul, and it goes in. Oh, Steph Curry with a circus shot and the foul.
It's most, one of the most incredible and ones you'll ever see.
Was that the one where it looked like Andrew, he like switched to his left hand practically while he was shooting it?
Yeah, and he kind of just threw it up without really looking at the basket. It was incredible.
I think I've gotten to the place, and I credit Andrew for this. Andrew's been sort of pushing me this direction, and he's right. I need to start treating Allen. I need to start treating Steph Curry the way I've treated like my all-time favorite athletes who weren't on teams that I rooted for. Where like they just get to a point of like you have to watch them as often as you can because you don't know when they're going to be gone, and it is so fun to watch this dude play. And by the way, Tatum was unbelievable on Saturday night also, but you just couldn't help but be blown away by Steph, who scored 47 points. He becomes the first player since Kobe Bryant to score at least 30 in 10 straight games at 33 or older. He's averaging over 30 points a game. He's just been absolutely out of his marbles, the level that he's playing. We talked about it earlier today. He's right there in the MVP conversation.
You know, yeah. I'm glad you brought that up again because we left out two pretty unbelievable players that are going to be up there in the MVP.
Go ahead. Devin Booker. Okay.
And Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, no one cares what's going on out West. You know what I'm saying? Except for Steph.
You're probably wrong.
Hold on. Let me pull up my old little stat tracker here.
Man, it is interesting how good Utah is and yet completely off the grid, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Golden State, I think they're going to make the play-in. I think they're three games up from falling out of it. Is that enough to win the MVP? To get into the playoffs as a play-in team?
Well, here's the it all comes down to how you view what MVP is. You know, the Nets may end up being the best team in basketball. They don't have an MVP on that team.
Well, they do. It's James Harden.
But what I'm saying is he's not a legit candidate for MVP of the league.
Well, he would be if the whole Houston thing didn't happen. You know, think of how he carried that team at times when he was the only one, right? There was no Kyrie, there was no KD, and they were winning games, and he was producing tremendously. He would be in the conversation, but because of what happened in Houston, and now I think it actually drove him to getting hurt carrying the team and missing maybe too much time to be considered.
Guys, what are we up to, 58 games this year?
Well, not everybody's at the same level.
Roughly, though?
Mm-hmm. Well, the Nets have 15 games left.
He's played in 34 games, guys. He's not in the conversation for MVP. 34 games as a Net. I'm sorry.
When you say there's nobody on the Nets that would be considered for MVP, if he didn't have the way Houston ended,
no,
he would be the MVP.
Of who?
The NBA.
No.
Yes. His numbers are off the charts. He carried the team without KD and without Kyrie.
You can't be the MVP of the league, in my opinion, if your team is that stacked. And also saying,
if it had gone differently, it didn't go that differently. They weren't stacked. If they didn't have James Harden and Kyrie took his sabbatical and KD was out for 23 games, they wouldn't be where they are right now.
No, not even close.
But my point is, he's played in 34 of their 59 games.
No, I get it.
I get that. That's your best argument. I get it. So he's not winning the MVP. But to say that they don't have an MVP candidate, if he wasn't hurt, he would be the MVP of the league.
Sorry, it's 57 games. If my aunt had hair on her back, she'd be my uncle. You poo-poo the idea that Randall could be MVP when he's missed, I think, one game this year. And by the way, statistically, Harden's at 25-8-11. I mean, it's pretty unbelievable. But he's played in 34 games for the team. Julius Randle's played in 57 games, 24, 10 and a half, and 6. Without them, he's an absolute, he's a joke. At least the Nets have games in which Harden doesn't play, right, and Kyrie comes in and scores 35 points.
For the MVP, especially in the NBA, you got to find that sweet spot of best player in the league and still being really meaningful to your team, right? And Randle, unfortunately, just isn't on that plateau where he's going to get a lot of consideration as the best player in the league. But you're right. By the actual definition, most valuable player, where would they be if he wasn't on this team? They wouldn't be in the playoffs. Never mind fighting for the sixth, fifth, or fourth seed. They'd be out. They'd be below the Bulls.
That's my thing. That's why I think it's reasonable. I feel the same way about Steph and Golden State. You remove Steph from Golden State, and Don, you're not talking about them making the play-in. You're talking about them being one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah, because as it is right now, we're talking about a team that's under 500 at 28 and 29. So that's the question. Does he lose consideration? Because, yeah, it's the play-in. They may finish under 500. I would give Randle more consideration than Curry just because that there's a chance the Knicks can finish out of the play-in and finish above 500.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Did you guys watch, Dom, were you watching the Warriors-Celtics game?
Yes.
Did you see the Toscano-Anderson play when he dove for the loose ball?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I may be a bad guy for this, okay?
Okay.
It was an incredible effort. But the way everyone gathered around him, when they showed the replay, I was expecting to see something horrifying. The world stopped. They ushered him off the court like someone had died mid-game. Don, if that happened in a football game, there's no timeout called. There's not even a conversation.
That's the difference in sports, right?
That's why it was on my mind.
A sport that actually took Dwayne Wade off the court in a wheelchair when he separated his shoulder. I mean, no offense to the NBA. It's not hockey or football, all right?
That's what I'm saying. I love basketball, and I respect the players. But it was on my mind because we were spending so much time talking about players taking off for load management. And the way they treated this, it was such a great effort. And I'm sure he banged up his head, and it was rough. But in other sports, it's something that doesn't get a mention.
Alexander Georgiev had his knee popped back in yesterday in the first intermission. But
and in
that's
baseball,
hockey. That you're a hockey player. You're expected to have that happen.
Baseball, you're being rested after 8 games because, you know, it's a long season.
Exactly.
Wear and tear, Michael.
Wear and tear. You got to keep them ready for the stretch run.
By the way, taking off for baseball, guys, would be like me if I'm on vacation and I play golf 3 days straight. On the fourth day being like, I've drank every day this week. I've been playing too much golf.
Right.
That's about the equivalent of the physical wear and tear.
A week from this Thursday, everybody.
The big lesson. We'll need some video there, by the way. And they're going to take video of you, so we'll need that.
No. Who's going to take video of me?
I'm sure your coach will.
See, I'd rather call it the last lesson. There won't be a second.
No. There's 5 that are paid for. There'll be 5.
Don, how proud will you be if he doesn't even make it to 2 now?
Well, I just want to be right because I'm like Michael, rooting to be right. Listen, that's an exaggeration. I can totally see you not finishing the file. Like, even though you had the 5th paid for, you're like, I'm not going back out there. I'm not doing it. This is not going to work well because you know what? You're one of those guys that you want to be good at what you do. And golf, even the best can't be good every day. And you're going to get disgusted.
Golf is garbage.
Away. But like,
I'm going
to
go into
it
with the thought process
this?
That, you know what? I'm not going to be great at this, and I'm just doing it to enjoy it. For the summer of K.
I've known you for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen you do anything that you at least didn't think you were good at.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I lie to myself.
Hold on. This is an important question. When Michael sings Build Me Up Buttercup,
I think I'm great.
Yeah, is that true?
Yeah, I think I nail it every time.
So I see. I don't believe you.
No, I do. I think I actually do a good job on that song.
What does good job? Hold on, Don. Real quick. I'm sorry. What does good job mean?
Entertaining.
Okay, but you don't think you have a good voice.
My voice is fine, and when I sing that song,
right?
What do you mean fine?
Well,
does anyone go to a concert and go, well, "That was fine"?
It's the only song they'll sing. Michael, what kind of driver are you?
I'm a great driver.
Right.
Talk show host. Parallel Parker.
Play by play.
I'm okay. I don't think I'm great, but I think I'm all right.
I've never seen you host. Just like, because there are times that people enjoy things, Peter.
I mean, I have won an Emmy for play-by-play on TV, so I guess I'm all right.
But there are times like you do things, you just know you're not good at it, but you just do it because you enjoy it. That's not Michael.
I think that's how he feels about the singing. I think he's lying when he says it's good. He knows it's passable.
You know what? I misspeak. You're right. It's great. It's highly entertaining.
See, he doesn't. Come on. Let's hear from Zion Williamson, whose Pelicans lost to the Knicks yesterday at the Garden. But, boy, Zion had a ball.
New York is the mecca of basketball. I love playing here. When I played here in college, and this is my first time playing here in the pros. And, I mean, this atmosphere, you know, whether they're cheering for you, whether they're booing for you, it's amazing. Honestly, I think outside of New Orleans, obviously, I think this might be my favorite place to play outside of New Orleans. I can't lie to you.
Can I call a 20-second here, Peter? Am I allowed?
Go ahead.
2,000 people at Madison Square Garden is not an unbelievable vibe. You're just making it up. I mean, I know that the court is supposedly beautifully lit, better than most courts, and the history of Madison Square Garden. But don't tell me about the energy. There's 2,000 people there, which means there's 18,000 empty seats. Stop it, Zion.
So what are you saying? Keep going.
I mean, he's always wanted to play in New York because he realizes what New York could do for his brand. He wanted to play in New York when he was leaving college. He said he hoped that the Knicks won the lottery. But you can't tell me that playing at the Garden yesterday was this unbelievable vibe. It's not true. He's not telling the truth. He had a preconceived notion and loves playing in New York City. But don't tell me about the vibe at the Garden and the energy. 2,000 people, God bless those 2,000 people if they exhibited that sort of vibe.
But I think he likes playing in New York, and he probably's been in a bunch of buildings with 2,000 people that didn't have the energy that the Garden had with the 2,000 people. It's special to him, but I wouldn't read into, the second he becomes a free agent, he's coming here. There are plenty of players that love coming and playing in New York that wouldn't touch the Knicks with a 10-foot pole. Now, I think things are different now, but let's not read into this as, we'll just count the days until he becomes a free agent, he's going to be a Knick. Like, don't take everything he said literally. He says outside of New Orleans. Come on. Do you think he really loves playing in New Orleans?
No, he despises it. He rues it every day that they won the lottery. By the way, I do want a promo because we didn't get a chance with the big fella. Carlin is going to have John Flaherty on tonight.
Hello.
There you go. The great John Flaherty, who had a hole-in-one the other day.
Is that true?
Yes, he did. First hole-in-one in his life.
You say that first in his life, like people are getting six in their lives. I mean, if you get one in your life, that's an amazing life. It's a life well lived.
I was judging him. I just wanted to say it was the first one he ever had. I think O'Neill's had three.
Come on.
Yeah.
O'Neill golfs to the point where it's ridiculous. He probably golfs more than actual professionals.
I got news. If you've hit three hole-in-ones in your life, you're golfing too much.
He golfs, I think, every day.
Yeah. He golfs way too much.
Can I just say this? Michael, I hope you learn to love golf and enjoy it. And I recognize that I'm not a fiend the way real golfers are. But how do you get to the point where you're golfing that much? There's nothing. So let your mind go as crude as you want. There is nothing I want to do as much as some of these dudes golf. Nothing.
People love it, man. And especially ex-athletes, because it gives them that competitive juice again.
But it's such a long day. I can't believe they want. I can't even play a PGA
for my. But Peter, you have
my...
two jobs. These guys are retired. They have nothing to do with their day.
And it gets that competition fix, like Michael says, and it also keeps them away from their families.
I think I'm going to golf. Go, I'm going to make. Once I learn, I'll golf 6 out of 7 days a week.
Can't wait. I will watch every
golf. We might be done if that happens, Michael.
No, it would. Your relationship wouldn't survive that. No chance.
Why? When the kids are at school, why can't I golf?
Like requesting guests, and we're breaking down the Masters for like four. Because that's what ends up happening now. You not just become the guy that golfs a lot. Now he wants to talk about it.
No.
So when we get back to the studio, he's going to be talking about his weekend golfing. He's taking a big trip to North Carolina in the middle of February. Oh, my God. I don't want to be there for that.
Guys, I will not have time to give you my full review of the Jake Paul Triller fight festivities over the weekend. We'll do it some other time.
But let me tell you this.
I did, but it was a disaster also. It was a fun disaster. I mean, there were moments that I went, anyone who lets Oscar De La Hoya on a Saturday night with an open bar get near a microphone is...
Yeah, that wasn't pretty.
That'll do it for ENN on this Monday evening.
Can you just imagine Michael heating up his tea at the new place? And while he's heating it up, he's practicing his swing like the Phantom. If he does that. Oh.
In the words of Billy Joel, life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. I'm afraid it's time for goodbye again. See everybody. Have a great night. Carlin's next.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.